All right, you guys, you know it is late June. You're sitting there, it's hot outside. Maybe you mowed the lawn and you're just like, it's 90 degrees and I just killed myself. I need to relax. So what are you going to do to relax? You're going to listen to Movies on a Monday. I'm Terrence.
I'm Matt, and we both mowed the lawn today. We're a couple of mowers. Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I never want to do that again.
Hey, so I want to interject real quick. There's something really cool that can happen when you have like a bunch of believers together doing stuff, and especially when they're all praying together. So if you're out there and you believe in Jesus and you believe in healing, Terrence's rotator cuff is bothering him. So just pray for it. Pray that God heals that and takes care of it. A lot of prayers together do a lot more than just one or two prayers themselves.
I appreciate that. I hate getting old. Like, I was like trying to figure out, like, man, why is my rotator cuff? And the first thing it says is more likely as you get older. I was like, shut up. I was like, I don't need to hear this Mayo Clinic.
How'd you injure yourself? I blinked twice. That's what I did. I'm at that age. Woke up.
It's ridiculous.
Your body's like, I'm 40 in a couple of weeks. Better shut down.
Oh, man. Why is it? This is like the third time somebody mentioned that to me today. Like, Terrence, you're going to be 40 this week. Like, I literally talked to my mom last night and she was like, Terrence, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be 40. I'm like, Mom, you know what that means? You're 24 years older than me. So you're 64. You better watch it. Okay. You watch your rotator cuff. It's ridiculous.
You know, Terrence and I, we're going to disagree today because we're going to talk about a movie that is a load of garbage, but I enjoyed it. But I really...
The fact that you know. But we should not have a disagreement here.
Before, I think we'll have enough common ground here of like, okay, you understand that it sucks, but you just like it. It's like that McDonald's has a following, okay? People understand that it's terrible, not good for you. Don't eat too much McDonald's, but still you're like, you know, I like this. People are like, I'm in the mood for a quarter pounder, and they go get one. And then like afterwards, like, why did I do that?
I hate myself.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm eating depression.
That's this movie. It's not good for you, but you can have fun if you can be, you know, as dumb as I am. But I wanted to talk about, since you're talking about being old, there's two movies that I saw as well that were actually better than Jurassic World Dominion. They came straight to streaming. There's one on Paramount Plus. I don't know if you get Paramount Plus or you have subscription. No. It's called Jerry and Marge Go Large. Have you seen any advertisements for that? No. It's got Bryan Cranston and Annette Bening, and it's based on a real story where Bryan Cranston is like this guy. His head is just, he's so good at numbers, and they get to this retirement age and he's kind of like, what do I do with myself now that I'm at retirement age? And he stumbles upon like, and he's like, I don't invest. I don't gamble. I don't do these big risks, but he realizes like the odds for this certain lottery are set up so that if you play it with enough volume, you win. And that you're going to win every time. And so he starts like testing this and it starts working. And it's a really cool idea. And it's great that it's a true story. And it takes a couple turns. The third act is a little like, they have like three different things going on. I'm like, you got a little messy, but overall it's very enjoyable. It's definitely worth a watch if you have Paramount Plus. I'd check that out. And then the other movie you probably have heard of, at least if not seen, did you watch Hustle with Adam Sandler?
No, I gotta watch it. Everybody says that movie's good.
Yeah, it's very similar in terms of, I guess it's not as suspenseful as Uncut Gems, but it's like that same feeling. It's definitely not the same level of suspense, but it's got that same feeling of like Adam Sandler making all these plays and like betting his future and just like being in a spot of desperation. And it's about him as a talent scout for the NBA. And like, he puts all of his chips on this one player that no one is going to give a second shot. So it's a really good movie. It's very intriguing and it's done super well. Plus it's a lot of love to the NBA, lots of NBA stars, Dr. J, like Doc Rivers coach, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, lots of different names in this movie. It's a love letter to the NBA and it's done so well that it feels like it's a true story, even though it's not.
Well, it was produced with LeBron James.
So. Oh, that's right. Yep. I remember that. They make a mention about like LeBron being the best. I'm like, I wonder if he made them put that in there.
He's like, hey, I will finance this thing, but You guys got to recognize the talent.
Like, that's it.
That's LeBron. I can see that. But here's the thing that drives me crazy. This just goes to show that Adam Sandler knows exactly what he's doing. He knows when to turn it on. He knows when to be lazy and to get a paycheck. He knows exactly what is happening. I have way more respect for Nicolas Cage. Why? Even when he's in a terrible movie, he's giving everything he's got.
That's true.
Adam Sandler, he's like just, he's not even boning it in. Like, he's leaving it on voicemail. He's like, hey, here's the answer machine for my performance. Play that when you want a new movie. That's what he does. Makes me mad. He's talented. Wasted.
It's funny with Nicolas Cage. When you watch him, you're getting a performance. Who's to say if it's good or bad, but it definitely is a performance. With Adam Sandler, sometimes you just get him being there. It's like, I don't need to do any of the script. I'm just going to say what I want to in this scene.
And everybody, you just do what you're supposed to do. And hopefully this movie will turn out. It's ridiculous. Adam Sandler, come on, man. Give us good stuff. You can do it.
He just did.
He needs to do that more. That's what I'm saying. He needs to, like, be a part of the team here, okay? Be a part of team entertainment, not team get a paycheck. This is ridiculous.
Between this and Uncut Gems back to back, he's on that path.
Well, you just remind me. So another movie that came out on Netflix that's causing a little bit of a controversy is, did you hear Spider-Head?
I've heard about it. I don't know anything about it apart from Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller in it.
Yeah. So it has Chris Hemsworth, Miles Teller in it, and it is based off of a book. Movie costs $100 million plus. This, now, if you haven't heard about it, and if you're sitting there right now and you're like, Spider-Head, this is the big controversy. Like, they have one of the biggest movie stars in the world right now, Chris Hemsworth, because he's part of the Marvel Universe, and Miles Teller, which is one of the biggest movies right now going this year, and Top Gun Maverick. He's in that. But there was no, like, advertisement for this movie. It just sort of just popped up on Netflix, and people are like, let's take a look. And it happened for us, and we watched it. It's actually pretty good. Okay. And the ending, I felt like it was a little rush, and they painted themselves in a corner, and they're like, we really did a good job in this movie, but we can't finish this. You know what? Just have them run away. But other than that, like, the movie is actually really interesting and has a great concept to it, where you're just like, oh man, I wonder if this is real. I wonder if this is something they could do.
What's pretty the genre?
I would say it's thriller.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with thriller. Because basically, it's about these inmates in this prison that's secluded. And they gave permission to have, like, them be studied with these new drugs. And so Chris Hemsworth, which is weird, he plays the scientist, the doctor in this. And it's like, at first you're like, Chris Hemsworth as a doctor? But the more I start to see Chris Hemsworth, the more I'm like, he's actually a really good actor, and he can fit into a lot of different parts. And so it didn't seem weird for him to be the doctor in this movie. And so basically he's doing experiments on all these different inmates. And he's got this whole thing with his prison where he's just like, you know what? We just want to change it up. There are no locked doors. You guys can communicate with one another. And so they do these drug experiments on them. And then obviously you start to realize, wait a minute, something's not right about these experiments. So watch it. It's interesting. It's good. Don't judge me for the ending. I don't necessarily think it's a good ending, but
is it Shutter Island vibes, or is it very different? Because what you explained very similar to Shutter Island.
Kind of, I guess a little bit. If you take the, yeah, kind of. I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Kind of. All right. Yeah. No, spoil it. Let's just give it away.
All right, here's the deal.
Speaking of spoilers, we're talking about Jurassic World. Now, Jurassic World is a type of movie that, like, it's kind of like a Disney movie. It's like, you kind of know generally how it's going to end. With Frozen, like, you knew how it was going to be a positive end, but you might not have been able to know, oh, Hans was going to be the bad guy. But overall, you know, like, the general feel of it. So I feel like we're gonna have some minor spoilers in here, but I don't feel like there's anything we have to be like, this is the big thing, this we're gonna ruin this part, or I don't feel like there's anything we need to do that for. So if you don't like spoilers, just avoid this from the here on out.
Yeah,
if you do like spoilers, you're weird, just watch the movie then. I'll spoil it for you by watching it, so there you go.
All right, we're talking Jurassic World Dominion. All right, now who wants to go first here?
I know a lot that you like. This is one of those movies that you easily get, you could have your laundry list, because there's plenty. Like, I don't want to just bash on this movie, although I feel like you and I are definitely going to. And I've said that I enjoyed it, because like, what really helps me enjoy this movie, apart from some of the action, is those old cast members. I just love seeing them all back in action together. I feel like without them, honestly, I would be in the same boat as you. I'd be like, oh, this was pointless, this is stupid, because Fallen Kingdom was awful. This is better than Fallen Kingdom for sure. But it's still not as good as the first Jurassic World, which I will say the first Jurassic World was actually good, even though it definitely had a lot of issues. It didn't have a good character. Like, you look at Jurassic World and it's like, Chris Pratt was the best character of Jurassic World, and he's not that good of a character.
No, it's really boring. And I that's been the whole like downfall of this series, is that they don't have interesting characters. Now, for Jurassic World, now, yes, there will be nitpicking here, okay? But I'm going to do this before I really get at this movie. They have a couple of good concepts that they should have went with that would have made the movie really, really good. Now, if you don't remember...
I definitely want some specifics, because I'm like, the locust idea is actually a really interesting idea. It just doesn't fit this movie, I feel like. I feel like it should be in another movie and be its own thing.
Well, yes, I would agree. That's an interesting concept, but not one where we're trying to watch dinosaurs. This is a dinosaur movie, not a world like World Hunger, all that. Like, this is dinosaurs, okay? What is the world when it's like there are dinosaurs in there? I think there is ecological like movie that you can have about dinosaurs in this, but they did not do that.
Correct.
And that was like one of the things where I was like, come on, man. Like, there's so much that you could do with just that. It's like, because how bad would that throw off the world's like the whole world, and where you have the ultimate predators and they're just eating everything? That would be crazy.
And because of that idea, it makes me feel like, because I've heard that there's a lot of editing, and like, if you look at the editing of this movie, the editing is actually really bad. There's, I think, one scene, like, there's plenty of scenes where it like cuts from where the characters are standing to another part in the action sequence, and they're like in a completely different spot than they were. And I'm pretty sure, I only watched it once, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure there was a time when Ellie Sadler was saving Owen, and then it did one other shot and it was the opposite, where Owen was saving her, and then it cut back and it was her saving him again. And I'm like, that is really egregious if that is truly what happened, because what? How could you make that big of a mistake?
You know, my shoulder hurts when I laugh and it hurts. It's so true. Like, there is some editing shots where even, what was the bad lady's name? The bad lady where you're thinking she's going to be a big part of this movie because she's the one like moving like these dangerous dinosaurs. And it was so weird. So if you guys, long story short, it becomes a chase movie. It becomes a find and chase movie. And then it becomes a search and rescue movie. And so there's this part in the middle where they're chasing this lady, and she comes off like, oh, she's going to be one of the villains in this movie. And pretty much what happens to her is she gets captured, and that's it. They don't even show you what actually happens. It's like, don't worry, we got her. And they take off and they don't refer back to her ever again.
No.
Now, there's a part in this scene where she's like, she has this pointer thing where she's telling the raptors where to go. I guess they can control raptors now. Okay, that's another thing. How is there not like raptors just on the loose everywhere, just killing people? I don't understand that. At first, when the movie started, I thought that's what they were going to do with Blue showing up and whatnot. They didn't do that. But whatever. So this lady's pointing a laser pointer, and the raptors know, just like dogs, like, oh yeah, this is where we're supposed to bite and eat. And they become like these ultimate predators. Like, we're talking, you point this laser pointer, and they will follow you to the moon and back. There's no way getting rid of these. Doesn't matter what runs across them. These raptors, they're coming for you. You're dead.
Except for they don't. Every single time that they do it in this movie, the raptors fail. And it's so funny because it's like, did the writers not watch anything online about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom? Because they actually have the same mechanism in Fallen Kingdom where it's like the laser gun. And so like all this parody stuff is like, why wouldn't we just use a real gun? I'm already pointing at them and the laser's there. If this had bullets, I would win by now. Why do I have to bring a dinosaur into this? And they're like, you know, we're going to ignore all of that. We're going to reuse the same mechanic again. It's like, you don't have to. There is no reason for you to use that same mechanic.
It's so ridiculous. But let's see. Now you're starting me to end the whole like nitpicking thing.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to hold that off. So another thing where I was like, okay, this could be really good, because in the movie Fallen Kingdom, they had this whole thing where it's just like, hey, John Hammond, he had this other guy and he wanted to bring his daughter back. And so they created this copy. I wasn't a fan of that whole thing, but I was like, okay, whatever. Now in this movie, I felt like they could do so much with this girl who had been a copy and she's trying to figure out who she is on her own. And it was like, okay, she's trying to see how far she can go. We're trying to see like, well, what does it mean to be a copy of someone? And what does that look like? And what can that be done? And they literally like, yeah, she's just a teen. She'll grow out of it. And like, they just pass by it. And there is so much that you can do with just that element. And she's a good actress, actually. And I think she could have pulled off some more in depth. I know we're talking Jurassic World here, but she could have pulled off a more in depth writing instead of just like, oh, I'm a copy, I hate my life, leave me alone, I'm a teenager, run. Like, there could have been so much more done with her trying to see, hey, am I just like one of these dinosaurs? What does my life mean? How can I be different than the person that I copy? And they also changed the science of that, of all that. Like, it was supposed to be this guy created this girl because he lost his daughter. But in this movie, what do we find out? Her mom actually created herself to make herself better from this disease. It's ridiculous. Like, they literally changed the whole scenario of this girl. It's dumb. It's really dumb.
I feel like the best representation for this movie for me was like, this is how I received it. Now, I don't want to throw things off, but at the end there, this isn't really a big spoiler, but at the end they recreate this shot. They have like this water fixture that's like this circle thing, and they have a T-Rex walk in behind it. And in movie, they have it look like the logo for Jurassic Park. And I'm like, that looks cool, but it makes absolutely zero sense. And I felt like that was me the whole movie. I'm like, I'm enjoying this, but none of this should be happening.
This is so unrealistic. Well, and then that was another thing where I think it was either in the second movie or maybe he said this in this movie, but they talked about how, you know, you wanted to create these dinosaurs and you wanted to create them for looks, but these dinosaurs, half of them don't look like the way they would actually look like. Yeah. And it looked like they were starting to do this in this movie, because you had dinosaurs where even in the very first Jurassic Park, he was talking about them kind of being like birds. Yep. And then you have this one creature show up and it's like a really crazy bird. And so I thought they could do more of that, where now you have this whole like, I don't even know. I feel like there's something more there that can be done with saying what people really want and what's really real and what's the difference between that two. But they did not go there with it.
And they have this really cool scene with Claire and like this giant dinosaur that they introduce in this movie, that kind of like the Edward Scissorhands dinosaur, as I call it. And like that whole sequence was like really well shot and like a great suspenseful thing. But like they just were so focused on both the locust story and the DNA girl cloning that they're like, we don't care about these dinosaurs. So you didn't really get proper introduction to these dinosaurs. So when like they fight, like there's another point later in the movie, you're like, this is no consequence. There's no reason that these are fighting this. We don't need this for any freaking reason.
Well, and you just brought up another point. Like Claire, if you guys don't know, because she's a nobody character and a boring character, she's the one that worked at Jurassic World in the first one. Yeah. Now, there's a whole thing that you could do with her where I thought that's where they're going, because at the beginning of the movie, she's trying to rescue these dinosaurs, and she's doing this whole like underground, like we can save these dinosaurs. But there's a whole story there between what is your responsibility to something you helped create. Like, that's a big thing, because she really was a part of this whole thing happening. And how does she deal with that? And what does that look like? But they totally just glossed over that. You didn't even get a good explanation. And she's just like, yeah, let's go save dinosaurs. This could have been a really deep movie, but instead they're like, money, popcorn, let's do this.
That being said, this movie finally introduced a couple new characters that were actually pretty good. I love, like, they have this new pilot girl in it that she was the best character that Jurassic World has brought to screen. That's excluding anyone from the previous franchise, because all of them, like, they probably aren't very good in this movie, but they just have so much goodwill from the first one that it's like, If you are a new character, I don't think I like you, but I like you because of the other movie. And so, you know, she is like the best of these new characters. They had this other guy. It's like all the black characters they did in this movie, like, were better than any other character, like her and the assistant guy. And then even the black guy from the first Jurassic World, I can't remember his name. Like, they gave him more agency in this movie. And I, like, that whole sequence, I don't remember where it was, but I it felt like it was some Mediterranean African place.
Yeah. I don't even know.
But that whole sequence I thought was like really good, because I was getting like, they have this fight indoors that felt very like Star Wars-esque. Then they have like this fight and there's some dinosaurs around and they're fighting while these dinosaurs are there. And it kind of felt a little bit more like Raiders of the Lost Ark type. And then they have this chase sequence through the streets that was also really, that was like almost Jason Bourne type. And it's like, there's a lot of good stuff that they're borrowing that they were able to create a cohesive action sequence. And I really enjoyed it. I just wish they had better writers. I come back to that. It does frustrate me, but it's like, whatever.
Well, and that's why I just don't like this movie, because it cheapened the whole Jurassic Park world and the feel. And first of all, I think Jurassic World, I don't like the whole series as it is. It's just too just messy. It's too redone over and over again. But you know what the sad thing is? This movie is making lots and lots of money. So you know what's going to happen? 5 years from now, there's going to be Jurassic Galaxy, okay? That's what they're going to do. Jurassic Galaxy. And we're talking dinosaurs in space. You know what's probably going to happen? They're going to recreate another park. They're going to be like, you know what? But this time, let's recreate it in space. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden, these dinosaurs, they're going to become sentient. And they're going to actually know what's going on. And then now you have dinosaurs creating people. That's what's going to happen. Yes.
Don't eat me. I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave. No, hey, producers, they suck at learning lessons, all right? I mean, let's look at that. Sony brought back Morbius to theaters because they saw the memes and like, oh, they want more of this. And so they brought it back. No, you guys, you're not learning the right lessons. But whatever. Again, like, yeah, I will agree with you that the Jurassic World franchise is not good. I liked the first Jurassic World. I felt like that was probably better than Jurassic World Park 3 and Jurassic Park 2. And that's because it reused the it used a very easy to use formula, because the first Jurassic Park had a good formula and this reused that story, so it didn't have to come up with a new story on its own. And then the action sequences were really good in that, and they failed on writing characters, but it's like they had two out of the three the big things that they needed. And I was like, yeah, I'm here for it. This is a solid movie. It doesn't have the depth of the first, but whatever. And then they showed it like, now we're going to try our own thing. And they couldn't do it.
See, for me, I felt like what was really crazy is in Jurassic World, she runs with heels on. Like, it's not even ignored. It's not like, oh, Terrence, you're just being nitpicky. Like, they actually make a joke about it. Like, Jurassic, everybody, the producers are like, oh, you know what'd be great? They show this woman running from dinosaurs with heels on. That's the dumbest thing ever. Especially in this day and age where it's like, okay, can we treat women like real women? Like, they're going to take off their shoes if they're running. That's dumb.
I feel like that choice was like a misguided feminism choice. Like, let's show that she can do it. And like, well, there's a difference between you being able to do something and you like having magic powers.
I don't know. It's so true. Now, I was thinking about this. Now, we all know they said this is the last of this trilogy. We know they're bringing back Jurassic Park in some way. Matt, if we were to hand you the keys to the kingdom of Jurassic World, what would you do for another trilogy, I guess?
Well, I guess I wouldn't shirk the continuity that we've had. So I would, because you brought it up earlier. The movie starts in a 5 to 10 minute montage about the Earth being populated with dinosaurs. And then the movie doesn't do anything to solve that conflict. It makes it seem like that's the conflict of the movie. And it doesn't even approach that conflict. I think I would do, I wouldn't say it would be like an anthology, but I feel like the door would be open to like focus on some specific stuff and to have a couple movies where it's like, this movie takes place in the Midwest. And then this, and it's this type of feel of a movie with dinosaurs. And this movie takes place in like a jungle. And it's that type of feel with, you know, like you could do a thriller or horror one. You could do like a drama one. You could do almost even a comedy. You have a lot of things that you could do. So I think I would maybe like start in a brainstorming meeting, like let's see what would be even a couple different ideas and a couple different genres, and do we want to do all of them or do we want to just peel back the layers and go from there?
You know what, that's a good idea. I would definitely make it smaller.
Yeah,
and I want to make this journey across the world type of a feel, but I almost do kind of like a Quiet Place where you focus in on a family. And
yeah,
just imagine a normal family trying to survive dinosaurs running around. I mean, what was the first part like where the dinosaurs first came? And it's like, we're not talking about some made up monster, but this is something that some kids learned about and now it's come to life. Like, how you deal in a situation where everything around you wants to eat you? Like, that'd be scary and crazy.
Yeah.
And almost, I would, if they would have to have some type of trilogy, if they're like, we got to make money off of this, Terrence, or we need more than one movie, I would almost do it like Planet of the Apes, where you had the Dawn of the Apes and the War of the Apes. Like, it was a progression of them taking over the world. And that's how, and each one, and this is why the Planet of the Apes trilogy, a lot of people think that's one of the best trilogies of all time, is because they grew the concept, but they always had a human element to it as well. And they didn't just rely on that one human element. It wasn't like you got back, who was in the first one? I'm forgetting his name now.
Which movie again?
The very first Planet of the Apes, or at least the
James Franco?
James Franco. Like, he was so good in that first one, but they did not rely on his character in the first one when they made the sequel. And it was like a whole new human character, and it actually worked. That's what I would do with Jurassic Park, is make it where the dinosaurs first come out. Then you have a group of people that are like fighting back, that are just like, hey, we got to deal with these dinosaurs. Let's weaponize them. And then you have one where everything is kind of like cut loose. This is it. This is the last of humanity holding its own in a Jurassic world, and make it truly Jurassic world.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. I mean, I think there's room for the scale of it, because I think if you went immediately to smaller scale, you'd have a problem. Like, and the problem was the writing. It wasn't the fact that it was a smaller scale. Yeah. But there, one of the problems of Fallen Kingdom, the second one, was that the second half of the movie took place in a mansion. Now that is smaller scale, but at the same time, people were like, I don't want to just, there's no reason for it just to be in a mansion. And I get that. So you might want to, it's really hard to get that lightning in the bottle, the first one, because the first one, yeah, they're on an island, which is a confined area. And you have that general feeling of like, any of these dinosaurs can be at anywhere around you at any time. But it also had the smart element that I would talk about too, is like, how about we follow it from a scientist's point of view of like, you know, there's this political idea of, do we kill these dinosaurs or do we let them like coexist and figure out the ways that we integrate them into it, and what's our responsibility? And so I would put it that at the forefront, have the scientist of what's our responsibility to nature and these creatures and to ourselves, and then to try and get them into a confined space, but not too confined, like a mansion.
Well, see, when I say a smaller scale, I mean like more like personal, like story-wise smaller. Oh, yeah. Not necessarily physically in one area, but a smaller story with the people in it, and just make it personal instead of the world is coming to an end, we gotta stop it.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you look at this movie and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and they were trying to emulate that thing, because like, that is the idea, is the first three movies and Jurassic World all take place on an island, so it all is confined. And then number two and number three here, they had to create this, like, we've got to force our own confinement in this Jurassic world. And neither of those things worked, like the sanctuary that, yeah, they have in this one, or like, it's like, it doesn't work, but I get why you went there.
Yeah. I don't know. Matt likes it. I'm just so done with Jurassic World. And the sad thing is, my kids' kids are going to be watching a whole new Jurassic Park. And you know what? They'll probably dedicate it to still Steven Spielberg, because of course, he'll probably be dead by then. We're going to be like, oh, no, Steven Spielberg, he's one of the greats. Let's bring back every single movie that Steven Spielberg's ever done. Like, this is ridiculous, but it is what it is.
It is. Well, there you have it. Jurassic World, see it if you want to. You know what you should see? Jerry and Large Go Marge. Or Jerry and Marge Go Large. Not what I said.
Sounds like, what movie is that?
Or Hustle. Go see those. Or Spiderhead sounds like it was pretty good too.
Spiderhead. Yeah, it is pretty good.
It's the worst of the Spider-Verse movies, but I mean, it's still pretty good.
I would agree, actually. It is, because there's no Spider-Man mentioned in it. But
when does Tom Holland show up?
I don't understand. Well, that's all we got for you. I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt.
And we're telling you, go watch a movie. You've got some good streaming movies. Take the time, go watch it, and hate on Jurassic Park, okay? No, not Jurassic Park. That's actually the best one.
That outro was kind of like the, you suck, you suck, you suck to all the Jurassic World movies. Like, oh, you're cool, Jurassic Park. And then you suck, you suck.
I'm out. Peace.